What's up, folks? Hats off to the Georgetown Little League, Hudsonville, Jenison, ladies softball team. They just won the Junior League World Series. You know, everybody hears about Little League World Series, you know, the boys, Williamsport, that whole thing. Well, these are older kids playing in the Junior League Softball World Series. Fast pitch softball, you know? And our local team won the whole thing. The World Series. It was fantastic. In fact, in the notes of this, you'll see a link with all the highlights. And it's awesome. It's really, really great to see these kids just laying it out and competing and loving life. It's a lot of fun to watch the highlights and watch the games. Congrats. They've won the World Series. So that is very, very fantastic. One of the coaches is a gentleman by the name of Matt Alkema. And I've got a chance here to talk with him. So I want you to check out this interview. His enthusiasm is fantastic. I want to run through a wall just talking with the guy. He's got like endless energy. So I was really impressed with him. And I'm really impressed with the team. So I want to take a little time and say hi to him. And basically have him tell the story of how it all unfolded. They're world champions. So that is fantastic. Here you go. My time with coach of the Georgetown Little League Young Ladies Softball Team, Matt Alkema. Matt Alkema, how are you?
I am fantastic. How you doing, coach?
I'm going to call you coach. You're the coach. You're probably used to calling people coach when you're just surrounded by coaches at the Junior League World Series, right?
Yes, sir.
Oh, man. This is a great story.
It is a phenomenal story. I'm sad we only have a half an hour. I really am, because I got about 8 hours worth of dialogue for you.
Wow. Okay. So, you know, kind of part of me wishes that every young lady was like able to be interviewed. So you're speaking on their behalf. So you've got a lot of pressure. And I think as
44-year-old man, I got to speak for a bunch of 14 and 15-year-old girls. Yeah.
As you know, if you screw this up, they're going to let you know, man.
So, I know. I wish I would have had a little bit more time to prep. I could have called them and said, hey, guys, anything you want me to stay away from? Anything you want me to go right into? But, I'll wing it and I'll do the best I can.
Well, let me just say, just so that people are aware, most people... Oh, my dog just came in here. That's why that door opened. Most people are aware of the young men, little guys, Little League World Series. And that's for kids. And that's baseball and totally different age group.
Yep.
These are more skilled because they're older, young ladies in what's known as Junior League, but still under the same like brand as Little League Baseball, right?
That is correct.
Okay.
Yeah, but so, it's all under international, and they have different age groups, and it's usually about every 2 years they put together, you know, a certain age group. But the big one is the 12s boys, the 12-year-old boys majors division in Williamsport. And then they'll do the same thing for the girls. They do the 12U girls, and that one's also the big one for the girls. But like you said, this is the next year. This is the juniors year. And to me, this is more fun because the girls are younger and now they're starting to become women and they throw hard and they run hard and everything, you know?
I'm not gonna lie to you. I haven't watched softball at this level. And then when I watched the highlights that were online, I'm like, these are ballers. These people, cow, just giving it all, laying it out, every single pitch, every single play. And, you know, I guess let me just start from the beginning. Playing at Dale Wagner Park, which is 1 mile from where I'm at physically right now.
I'm like 2 yards away from it.
Yeah. I mean, we're all in this general area. And then one of your pals reached out to me and said, hey, can you talk about this? So I did. And then the next thing I know, you guys are getting momentum. And then, boom, you go on an amazing run and win the whole freaking thing. So congratulations.
Well, thank you very much. The journey was greater than the, you know, the destination, you know, and just like most great stories and journeys are, the ride was phenomenal and the support from the community. I can't even put into words, you know, how much support we've got from Little Leagues, around the surrounding area and just the community in the Jenison Hudsonville area in general. It's phenomenal.
Now, you've been around ball your whole life, and I'm guessing you've never been around anything as monumental as this.
Well, so kind of. In 2013, my oldest son, Mike, went to the 2013 50-70 Division Little League World Series in Livermore, California. Now, that was a great ride. I wasn't a coach. I was just a parent. So it was a little more fun, you know, because I didn't have to do anything. I just sat and watched.
Yep.
And they finishing like fifth or sixth in the world. They didn't win the whole thing. But that was a great experience. But this one was because, you know, the last three games were just epic. I mean, you watch the highlights, a 10-inning thriller, a 9-inning walk-off home run. I mean, it was just – the championship was almost anticlimactic, you know, because of what we had gone through the first two games to get there.
Oh, it was great. And every bit of it. So take me through it, because how does this team become assembled in the first place?
Okay, so it starts out, you know, there's three teams in Jenison, in Georgetown Little League, and then there's one in Hudsonville. And because they don't have enough players to form their own all-star team, we get to basically absorb them. You know, we become this District 9 team. So it's Hudsonville and Jenison together. And then so we, you know, the coaches get together and nominate the players and basically based on their availability and positions and stuff like that, we pick a team. And so we pick a team together. We've got 13 girls, and we're hyped about it. And about, I don't know, 2 weeks before All-Star starts, Mackenzie Kaminga, who pitched in the championship game, catches a line drive to her hand, breaks her hand. She gets a screw put in her hand. She's out for 6 weeks, whatever. We're not 100% sure. So she's out. So it's like, oh, man. We took a hit right there, but we've got Merritt. You know, Claire is a phenomenal pitcher. And we had some younger girls too that could kind of fill in for things. And so we're moving forward. And the next week, Claire Merritt goes down. She's got back spasms. She's got a knot in her back. So now we're down our one and two pitchers, and we're kind of limping into this. My daughter, Macy, who caught most of the games, dislocates her shoulder, separates her shoulder on a swing. Oh. Right. It rolls out, but it pops out, but it rolls right back in.
What?
So we're down our battery. Right. And it was the next man up from the whole time. It was, you know, our moniker all year was family, 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 family. And the next person up fills in the gaps. And so we go into this district tournament with, you know, you have to win districts first. If you win your district, then you get to go to state. So we go into this district tournament with 13-year-old girls, you know, pitching and catching. The younger girls on the team are pitching and catching. And so we roll into it with this, and we have to forfeit the first game because it starts on a Sunday, and almost our entire team, our team is travel ball girls. So we start out in the hole right away.
Wow.
We end up coming back and winning the district tournament. Then we go into states, which is was held here in Byron Center. That was the state tournament that we ended up having a forfeit the first
time. Okay. Okay.
State tournament. So we roll into that down one game, and we end up winning the rest of our games, getting a good seed, and we face Claire for the championship. And Claire, we've played Claire for the state title the last 2 years.
Okay.
Phenomenal softball team, a little pocket, just northwest of here.
Oh, yeah.
And they're a softball mecca. They had their majors girls this year, won their state title. So they're, you know, and that was our rival, so to speak. And we ended up beating them 3-0 in a thriller. You know, it was a great game. Then we go to Pendleton, Indiana for regionals. And if you win that, you represent your region or the central region. And we win our first game against Ohio. You know, the girls wanted Ohio right away. You know, it's Michigan versus Ohio.
Okay, sure.
We'll never die. Girls softball, that rivalry is still there. So it was awesome. That was a good game, 9-7. We faced the host team, Indiana, and we just stink it up. We lose 3-2. Later on that day, the girls from the team call a meeting together. The girls, no coaches involved.
All right. Okay.
We were on board with it, but the girls call a meeting, and I kind of got the gist of what they talked about, but I didn't want to go into detail because it's a, you know, bunch of 14-year-old girls. I don't need it.
All right. All right. But still, I like that. You know, I mean, leadership. There you go. Let's figure this out, ladies.
Yep. And that's what they did. They go on a tear. They go on a tear. We're in the loser's bracket. It's do or die. They win the next three games. The next three games without giving up a run. All right. So, I mean, we're firing on all cylinders, you know, and then it's a rematch for the Central Region Championship against Indiana, and the girls, they came to play. We ended up run ruling them and winning. I think it was 12-1 was the final score. I mean, they played their best softball in those four in that tournament. So we win Central Region, Indiana. Okay, now everybody's okay. We're going to the World Series, right? So you got to come home. You win it on Sunday. You come home Monday, and you got to get ready. You got to get all your ducks in a row to leave on Friday.
Okay.
Fly across the country to Kirkland, Washington.
Wow, and that's that's where it's all going down.
This is the place where it's all going down, and we get to Kirkland, Washington, and the fields that we played on, you saw them, you know, if you watch the highlights and stuff, they're just absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, I did. I did see that.
And they do a phenomenal, the Little League did such a great job. They assigned us a teen aunt who was like a liaison.
Okay.
You know, she told us where we could eat and, you know, things like that. She did all the girls' laundry, all the uniforms, all the pants and stuff like that. She actually loaned us a vehicle. Because, you know, instead of getting a rental, she's like, I have an extra vehicle if you want to borrow it. It's like,
okay,
that's what a great deal for us.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that they have it all set up for you guys is top notch. How do the kids respond to this kind of like red carpet treatment that they're getting? I mean, that's got to be pretty darn cool.
It was epic. I mean, they had no idea what they were in store for. No idea. Like, I had kind of an idea because, like I said, my son had been there before, but I didn't say anything to him. So we go, we get checked in as a team, and we go get outfitted. And okay. The girl, a complete, like, softball makeover. Cleats, socks, belt, pants, jersey, practice jersey. And Easton donates a bucket or provides a bucket of 14 ghost bats. These are $500 retail value bats. And the girls get to pick one. You know what I mean? They get a whole, like, it's like a new softball player for them. And then,
right,
you know, that they were just drooling, eyes, you know, their eyes were wide. Everything was like, oh my gosh, it was literally the red carpet rolled out for us.
That is tremendous. A $500 bat?
For each girl. For each girl, not one for the team to share. Each girl got to pick out a bat out of this bucket.
Wow. Oh, my God. What was the game in which the home run, was that Claire who hit the game-winning, who had that walk-off home run?
Morgan Masick. Morgan Masick hit the game-winning home run against Nevada, the team from the West region.
Okay. So that was the game that it went on into the bottom of the ninth inning, correct?
Yes, that was the ninth inning. Yep.
Wow. And okay, so then all these incredible moments are happening. Two walk-offs. That was a walk-off in the quarterfinals, I believe, and then a walk-off in the semis.
Yes.
And then on to the finals.
Yes. The very first game in bracket play was against the Milford, Connecticut team. And their pitcher, Matty Bull, was throwing heat. You can hear the ball popping in the glove. Even as I'm watching the game, I'm like, man, she is popping. And that game, I've never seen a group of not just girls, people cry, cheer, cry, laugh, cry, cheer. It was a roll. We thought we lost that game two different times.
Right.
The girls balling and then they're cheering. And then they're balling and then they're cheering. I'm balling. And then it was I got home that night and I iced my knees. And it had nothing to do that I was on my feet at all.
Right.
You know, that's all the press was. Felt like I was, you know, 110 years old and I just got done with a prize fight.
Okay. You know, I've got two daughters, so I know what you mean by the emotions. Let's be honest here. They're much more rounded in their emotions than us guys, you know?
Yeah.
And I love you and witnessing and then describing what makes daughters the best, you know.
Yeah. They're great. They wear their hearts on their sleeve. They do. Their highs are so much higher than us, but their lows are so much lower. You know what I mean? The range is, you know, boys are, you know, they're a different breed altogether. You know, if you're winning, everything's great. I once heard a coaching friend of mine once said to me, boys have to win in order to have fun. Girls have to have fun in order to win.
Wow.
That is
perfect.
Yeah, it is. Like, I feel like it should be on shirts everywhere. You know what I mean? Like, I'm the coaching coordinator at Georgetown, and I tell every coach that I meet with that same thing. I'm like, this is start out right here. If you can start with this, you're half the battle is done.
McKenzie's home run. This is that. Can you see what I see?
That's Morgan's. Yep.
Morgan. I said McKenzie. This is Morgan. And do I say Masick?
Yep, Masick. Yep.
Morgan, man, look at that look in her eye. You know, I mean, that is just all business.
But that's Morgan, though. That's Morgan. So that's what I mean. Like, she is zeroed in. That's her emotion at the time. She is zeroed right in. But by the time she gets to home plate, she's already bawling. She's already bawling, because that was the Nevada game. That was they were vaunted. If you look at some of their stats coming through, I think through districts, state, and regional, they had outscored their opponents 167-1. And until they played, until they played us, they had not given up a single run that entire tournament. So it was like the Yankees. They were the Yankees of Little League.
If you ever followed hockey and you saw that movie Miracle,
Herb
Brooks was like, 9 times out of 10 they're going to beat us, but not today.
Right, but not today, and the girls wanted that game. They wanted it. They were up for it. I gave a little speech before the game, and it was a relatively short one, but it was the story of the 300. The Spartan 300 Warriors and Xerxes Persian Empire. And I related, you know, our team to Spartan 300 and the West team as the Persian 300, this giant army that just, you know, was going to, you know, take over the world.
Yeah.
And how the 300 that had to defend their home and family. And that's what they did.
I want to watch this again just because of the sheer joy when she realizes it's over the fence. So here you go. Look at her.
And she knows, like, as soon as she rounds first, she knows.
Oh, right? When those hands go up.
Rolling, you know.
Look at that.
Go up. You know, Jeremy at third base is jumping. Watch him jump in the air. He gets like 2 feet in the air, I tell you.
Ah. Oh, my gosh.
It was awesome. It was an awesome, awesome, awesome feeling.
Oh, dude. I love this. I found out. Kind of like on a lark, I was actually on the Huge Show, and then I think it was Steve reached out to me and said, "Hey, you know," and he gave me I said, "Oh yeah, I'll talk about it." You guys were heading off for the trip, and you were like, there was a big goodbye party for you at Dick's, but I mean, totally catching fire and captivating the hearts of the community. It was absolutely spectacular. Jeez.
Well, not just the community. I mean, you know, a shout out to my girls. They were literally the darlings of the tournament. When we sat down for that game, if you watch the last clip in the Southeast game against the South Carolina team, the last play of the game, one of the dads I have has a panned view from the outfield.
Okay.
And all the Southeast fans wearing their yellow in one side of the dugout of the stands. And as he pans around, you see our stands and they are packed.
Wow.
Canadian team was there. The girls from the Southwest team were there. They had bought the Canadian girls had bought Central visors for us to sign during that game. It was awesome. And that's a credit to those, you know, the girls. I don't know what they did or what they said, but they made friends and they just, they were awesome. And they were the darlings of the tournament. It was the coolest thing as a coach to see that many people that don't even know you rooting for you.
Right. Man, that was fantastic. And you guys, Came back to town. I guess they were lining 32nd Street. People were waving at you. The kids were loving that, I'm guessing, huh?
Yes. Oh. And so the girls kind of caught wind of it because somebody, one of the guys organizing it, put a little blip on social media, on Facebook, trying to get people to go. So the girls kind of caught wind of it, but they didn't really understand the magnitude of it. You know, we get off of 32nd Street and all of a sudden two fire trucks and a police car pick us up. You know, the sirens are blaring and they're like, what's going on? And there's pockets of people down 32nd Street. You know, there's like 10 people here, 5 people there. I think there's like 20 people out in front of the high school. And so they're like, oh, this is so cool. And Coach Matt, how many people do you think are going to be at Vitaly's? And I said, yeah, you know, maybe 20 or 30 of your family members and stuff, you know. And we get over the railroad tracks in Chicago Drive there. Yeah. They can see the crowd out front.
Oh,
and,
man.
Oh my God. Look at all those people, you know, and they were just blown away. Like, oh, I man. Said, I can't tell you the amount of support that we've gotten from this community. I got 17 friend requests on Facebook from people I don't even know that are just, you know what I mean? They're from Jenison and Hudsonville. They're a friend of a friend of a friend. You know?
Right. Right.
In this community it was the coolest thing ever. You know, I grew up on the west side of Grand Rapids, which is a ginormous neighborhood, so the community is not so tight knit, but out here, man, it is family, and that's yeah. what we all through the tournament. You know, it was 1-2-3 Michigan, 4-5-6 family. That was us,
man. You guys, you did an amazing job. You got a lot to be proud of. So the ladies have a couple weeks off, back to school. That's it, right?
Well, but no. So a lot of the girls are kind of taking the fall, but they're travel ball players.
Okay.
So, you know, travel ball, you know, evaluations happened and they start practicing for their teams about the end of August. So they literally get a couple weeks off, and then some of them will play the Jenison or the Georgetown Hudsonville Fall Ball League. And some of them will play their travel ball. And then there's winter leagues. And then, you know, it's
wow.
For girls, it just doesn't stop. It doesn't.
I thought hockey was a lot with my son, but this is remarkable.
My daughter had 212 games between it wasn't quite that many. Sorry, it was 182 games between spring and fall or something like that. It was a silly number. You know what I mean? It was just a silly number.
Wow. Well, Matt, I tell you what. Hats off. You guys did a great job, and congrats to those ladies. I mean, that was really, really a spectacular thing. I'm sure that they must feel great about that. It'll be that's something that will shape their youth. They'll remember that till the day they die. You know, even if they never play another game again, this is a gigantic moment for them. I'm really, really happy that it turned the way it did, and everybody worked so hard, you know?
Yep. Yeah, it's like I said, it was a team effort from the get go. The guys, you know, the guys I coach with, Calvin Merritt, who managed the team, is a teacher, and he runs that team like a teacher would. You know, he's great with kids, and he's got a plan, and he's got it figured out. And then Jeremy Clark, that called the game from third, he calls the offense from third base. And he's the nuts and bolts, turning the screws kind of guy at third. He's an executive director at Grace Ministries. And then there's me at first base, the loud and rowdy.
Awesome.
Hype man at first that's screaming and dancing. That's the player's coach. And you know, I'm a machinist on the west side. So we're three very different guys with three very different jobs that live and love not only the sport, but those girls as well.
So you were at first when the home run was hit?
Yes.
So the second it left the bat, were you like, maybe?
Or? No. Oh, this is the worst. I wish there was a view of me from the first base, a home run shot to that left or to that right center field area, the right fielder shaded my view. I couldn't tell if it went over the fence or bounced over the fence. So I'm screaming, looking for an umpire to do this. Do the home run signal. Only one umpire did, and it was down the right field line, and I didn't see. It was out of my peripheral. Oh. So I'm screaming, jumping up and down, looking for an umpire to give me that signal, and I didn't see an umpire do it until she threw her hands up and rounded second. That's when I knew. So I was freaking out because I didn't know if it was a ground rule double or a two-run shot.
Oh, geez, man. I love this.
It was epic.
I understand, Coach Matt, that you may remember my youngest when she was getting evaluated back in the day for...
redhead, right?
Yeah, well, at the time, sure.
At that time, right, at that time.
Wow.
I think that was for the Jenison Hudsonville Fall Ball.
Yeah, it was. It was. That's incredible.
Was that her last year or so?
I don't really remember because I have got really bad ADHD. So you see, dude, I would sit through those games and I hated every one of them. It was so boring to me.
That's why I coach. That's because I can't sit. I gotta be in it. That's how you focus your ADHD. Yeah. You know.
I was trying to talk her out of it. I was like, you got to stop playing. Do anything else. Go to join the chess team. I don't know.
What, the chess team? How are you going to watch that? That's even worse.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Well, I'm not going to tell anybody. You just told me that little
tip. Well, you know, it's just it's me. It's a me problem. It's not a you problem. The game's great, but I'm just kind of an idiot is what it boils down to.
If you like baseball and you like, like you said, you're wound tight like I am, softball's the way to go because that game's Mach 10.
It really is, and just the unbelievable accuracy and the strength on pitching alone, it's just a sight to behold to see someone whip it in there like that. Considering we're always used to seeing someone throw a ball overhand,
they do it consecutive days. It's not like baseball where you get a rest period.
Yeah,
like girls can pitch until their arm falls off, and it's not, you know, not like we do that, but they there's a lot of those girls, they want the ball every day,
especially at that level. That would never be boring for me. I can say that what I was referring to was super young, but when I was but seeing just the mechanics of how the game is played is, in my opinion, a more enjoyable experience to watch than baseball, if you ask me personally.
Right. Well, baseball guys will—they'll fight you till the day that they die, until they have a daughter.
Correct.
Softball. Because my daughter was my youngest. I had two sons that played baseball. You know what I mean? So I was like, softball. I don't even understand. There's a circle rule and all this jargon. Whatever. It's a kid's game. It's a girl's game. And then my daughter starts playing, and starts getting competitive. Right. And it's like, man, this game is Mach 10 with your hair on fire.
It is. And you know that the softball players are already smarter than the baseball players because they protect their faces.
That's 100% true, man. That's 100%. We love our daughters. We love our daughters, and we don't want to see them hurt at all, ever. You know, boys, it's like rub some dirt on it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
It's hurt. It's like, it hits you in the heart.
Coach, you're the best. I appreciate the time, and congrats to the ladies. Congrats to everybody associated, all the families who supported you, and you did a great job. Well done.
Thank you so much, Eric, and I appreciate having me on the show. Like I said, I just another shout out to the community of Hudsonville and Georgetown. It's a family environment, and I will never leave this community.
Great job, Coach. Excellent.